Hey, I'm Elise, alcoholic. Grateful to be here, and welcome to our newcomers and our visitor from the North Pole. And thanks to Mike for asking me to share tonight, be the 10-minute speaker, and thanks to my friends who came down to support me, and grateful to be here. You know, welcome to the newcomer who's here during his 49er game. Like, that's pretty awesome, so. Oh, no. So what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, quickly, right? Like in 10 minutes. So, I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. My dad was a union worker and my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and, they got married at 19 and it was on, you know, it was in the early 70s and there were a lot of drugs and a lot of rock and roll and, you know, fill in the rest. And it was always a party. And I started mixing cocktails at 7. And by the time I was 11, I had my first blackout. And let me just back up real quick. So I got sober in 2000, January 31st, 2000. So I'm getting ready, knock on wood, to celebrate 20 years. And I got sober in Oceanside at the Alano Club. Wasn't my first AA meeting, but that was my first meeting after visiting AA for about 10 years that I got sober. So yeah, my first drunk was a blackout, and by the time I was 14, I was a full-blown alcoholic addict. You know, I'd get to school in the morning, and I would, you know, start smoking pot, and then we usually had alcohol on the campus, but obviously that wasn't as easy to hide. The alcohol usually came out at night. And that's pretty much how my life went until I was 20 years old. I was drinking and drugging every single day. By the time I was 17, I had had a hit-and-run DUI where I threw my friend through the windshield. And my parents didn't really know what to do with me. But, you know, I was also coming from a household where my parents were no longer together, and my stepdad was a cocaine addict, and my mom was a good Al-Anon, but we've recently found out that my mom's been on benzos for the last 25 years and is now in sober living in Aliso Viejo, and it's a trip, like, to go and see my mom, who, she pretty much was the one that, the reason that I'm sober today. Like, she did not work an Al-Anon program with me at all, and she was constantly on me whenever I was using and drinking, and, like, I really looked up to my mom, and I didn't want to let her down. And she was a big part of the reason that I got sober, and she had actually put me in Alateen when I was 13. So I knew the signs and symptoms of alcoholism. So by the time I was 15, I was praying, God, if I'm going to be an alcoholic, please let me be a sober alcoholic, because I knew that I wasn't drinking normally. And I didn't want to be the alcoholic that was in my family that was causing, you know, abuse and chaos. You know, because the alcoholics in my family, like my dad, we had the cops at the house all the time. You know, there was a lot of violence. There was just a lot of stuff. Cars disappeared on a regular basis, you know, dogs, things like that. Like, it was a pretty rough childhood. And when my parents got divorced, we had to move because my dad was super abusive and we had to get to a safe place. And so my grandparents let us move into their house that they had because they had just built a new house. So we went from living in a town that wasn't very, I don't know, it was just more of a like blue collar town to we moved to a white collar town. And from that time on, I can just remember never feeling a part of, you know, remembering my dad picking me up in the white panel truck that was like 20 years old, and my friends' dads were driving, you know, the Mercedes and the Panteras, and so just from that, you know, from the time I was 9, I felt different, you know, and I started struggling with depression at 9, and so when I found alcohol, like, I thought, like, that was my solution. You know, and alcohol helped me. Like, I'm the type of alcoholic that my addictions, because I have many, they help me keep all the balls in the air. And when you take away alcohol or my addictions from me, I don't know how to cope anymore. Those are my solutions, you know? And so my first stint in AA was when I was about, you know, 15, and then with my hit and run DUI, and then I went back out there and I got married at 20. I married my high school sweetheart and we moved down to San Diego in 92 to Oceanside, and that's how we ended up down here. And I was pretty much miserable in that relationship right out of the gate, but I stayed in it for 21 years and I had three kids with that man. And I got sober after 8 years of marriage, and so then I stayed in that marriage for another 14 years, and that was miserable. So basically, you know, I came into AA, I got sober, I barely had a high school degree because I was getting loaded so often. I barely graduated from high school. I, you know, didn't know how to support myself, anything. And so, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous was like the first thing in my life that I ever succeeded at when I came in. You know, I came in at 27. I had had my second child, so I had a 2-year-old and I had a 3-month-old. And I could never, I couldn't deny anymore that I was an alcoholic, because I had a really hard time staying away from alcohol when I was pregnant with those boys. And like, I'm the type of alcoholic that I can use Listerine and start seeing visions of Coors Light bottles dancing in my head. Like, like I am just so careful about, you know, I barely know where the Motrin is in my house, because, like, I don't take over-the-counter stuff. Like, I'm super sensitive, and I've found that in sobriety, like, I just really have to watch it with stuff. But So I came into Alcoholics Anonymous and I found something that worked for me. And, you know, I walked into the Oceanside Alano Club in 2000 and, somebody stuck their hand out to me and introduced themselves. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to stay, and I just did what they told me to do, you know, and I still do those same things. Like, I'm a single mom. I work full time. I had, now two of my boys are gone, but, you know, at the height of, like, so I lost everything in sobriety. I had everything when I got here, and I was one of those that lost everything, you know, after being here for a while, after 14 years. And so the last 5.5 years, it's been about me being a sober woman, staying sober no matter what, and becoming fully self-supporting and not depending on anyone or anything. And, you know, all I can say is, I have a home group, and that's Sobriety Rocks, and it's in Carlsbad, and I get to that meeting, like, every morning at 8:30. We get to read the daily reflections, and it's God-focused and God-centered, and we have a lot of newcomers, and it's super cool, and it just sets my tone for the day, you know, and it just makes my days easy. And I go on Saturday night, and, you know, I still have about 5 commitments, and I still talk to at least 3 other alcoholic women, if not more, every single day. And I have to initiate those phone calls. I can't just be receiving. I need to initiate them too. And I just, you know, I loved hearing, like, old timers when I came in who said that, you know, they did things like they got on their knees in the morning and thanked God to be sober today, and that they got on their knees and asked for another day, and then they got on their knees at night and thanked God for being sober for the day. And, you know, I also asked, please get me through till morning, because, you know, I've been known to wake up in the middle of the night and do a couple shots or whatever if I couldn't sleep, you know. So, and I pretty much still do that every day. And, you know, that Sobriety Rocks meeting, that meeting moved me and my 3 kids 3 times in the last 5.5 years. I had to move twice because my landlord sold. And then 2 years ago, by the grace of God, in the program, I was able to buy my own house in Carlsbad, which is something I never thought in a million years I'd be able to do. And that's why I never left that man, because I didn't think I'd be able to do it. And with the help of Alcoholics Anonymous and, You know, I would just show up and I'd share about what I need. And before I know it, I'd have like 14 trucks over there. I've had people, you know, hey, I owe you an amends. Can I get you a moving truck? You know, I have all my ladies coming over with their men, you know, taking down my big screen TV and my bunk beds. And like, it was just amazing. You know, like, I feel really sorry for people that don't get plugged into the program, because like, the miracles that I have been able to experience are just, I feel like, you know, we talk about the spiritual experience and the awakenings and everything, and I feel like being in sobriety and recovery, I get to experience that on a daily basis. You know, I get to hear and see things that I would never hear and see in a million years if I wasn't sober. You know, and I know I can't do it alone. And I know today there's a difference between sobriety and being sober and being in recovery. You know I'm not one that does well if I'm not close to the program. I tried that at about 4 years sober, and I ended up doing a geographic. I stopped going to meetings, and I moved to North Carolina. And I ended up coming back, you know. So I have to be really super careful about my ism, you know, just because I haven't had a drink in a really long time doesn't mean that I'm still not like inherently selfish and self-centered and dishonest, and half the time I don't even know I'm lying, you know. And so that's why service for me is so important, and working with others, because I get to like see the truth. Am I done? I'm sorry, I didn't see the minute. Okay, I'm done. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing.